Well, hallelujah. I'm going to get started this morning. I have a few scriptures today, quite a few. But I want us to see this morning, today is the day of Pentecost. Did you know that? How many knew today is the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost is just 50. What Pentecost means is 50. Basically, it means the 50th day after the day of Passover. Okay? Passover was the time when they were celebrating and they would go and offer their sacrifice to God. Amen. Under the old covenant. And when Jesus, you know, he instituted what? The new covenant, didn't he? Now, how many remember? He had, you know, on the day of Passover, that's when he had that covenant with God. He told the disciples, go make ready the Passover. And he said, and how many know what the Passover was all about? The Passover was about them remembering. Okay, they would remember. When they placed the door under the old covenant, the time of Moses, if you remember, there was going to be the firstborn killed out of every home in the land and in Egypt, and they were there. But how many know when they applied the blood of that sacrifice that they made over the doorpost. They put it on each side over the top. It would drip down. And so it was a representation of a type of Christ's blood, which would eventually be shed for them. And they were saved and they were protected, believing in the coming Messiah, knowing that God is with them. And I'm sure there were some that still had a little fear. You know, you're in that house and you're seeing all the Egyptians firstborn killed, but it released them to be able to go out and worship God, and they finally said, okay, we'll let you go. Amen. Pharaoh was stubborn against Moses, but God had told Moses to free the people. Go tell Pharaoh to let them go. And finally, they were let go. And Jesus, on the Passover, he made what? That covenant with God. He said, I am now going to become that body. I am going to be, it is my body that's going to be broken for you. It is my blood that will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. In other words, I am going to be that Lamb of God. I am the one that's going to take away the sin of the world. So we see that. And then 50 days later, of course, we're here. And we now know that it is the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, it's known as also, where they would have celebration. And they would begin to do that. And here, we know that God had promised something. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was then sent, wasn't he? He was sent from Jesus. And he foretold of these events that they would be availed of people once he completed his work on the earth. And of course, the first experience is that we are first have to be born again. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, really, we receive the to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have to first be born again. He said in Acts chapter 1, let's go there first, Acts 1:8. It says, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What are we going to receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon us is power. Power to be a witness, power to walk with God, power to begin to transform into the image of Christ. It is a number of things that takes place when power comes upon us. If you're going to be a witness of something, then you must see something, amen? You must know something, you must hear something. And here in this case, Jesus had promised, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And we have to notice that Jesus describes these events differently of being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. In John 3, 3 through 7, we read where the Holy Spirit, where Jesus says, we must. You must be born again, right? John chapter 3. Verses 3 through 7 says, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And so here Jesus is likening, and he said, our first birth is born of the flesh. In other words, you're born from a woman, hallelujah, and a man, they come together, and you are born. You are brought forth into the earth through the water of the woman. Amen. But he said, when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. In other words, God becomes the Father of our spirit. He is not the Father of our flesh, but he is the Father of our spirit. He said, you are born again, or born from above. In other words, your new man must be renewed. It must be transformed. It must be changed. And we see that the born-again experience is a spiritual change in the individual. And then the infilling of the Holy Spirit has to do with an experience with the third person of the Godhead, wherein the Holy Spirit enters and abides within that person. Amen. We are born of the Spirit. But there is the second work where God begins to move and we receive the infilling or the power of the Holy Spirit which comes upon our life. It's not the same and it can take place. It takes place separately. And when we see this in the scripture, it is subsequent to being born again. And we see that, first of all, I want us to look at Titus for a minute real quick. And I want you to understand, I understand the Holy Spirit is involved when we are born again. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. He says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse describes the Holy Spirit as performing a renewing or the born-again experience here. It means to renew qualitatively. In the Greek, it is a word, as I say, it's a qualitative renewing in that person, and it's different. He is now different from his past. He's become a new person. In essence, the blood of Jesus cleanses from sin and the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit performs the work necessary, which is the new nature of God is released within a person. They are then what? Born again, born from above, born from God. And the Bible says to be born again, we know Romans 10, 9-13, he says what? If we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. What for the with the mouth, what we make that confession unto salvation. With the heart we believe, with the mouth we confess that Jesus is Lord. And we know that brings us into a relationship with the Father when we have that, the born again experience. And as you know, and these events in John chapter 20, we see where the disciples first were really born again. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23 here. John 20, 19 through 23 says this. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Here they received, and they were filled with God. Okay? And he said in verse 22, "And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And so they're receiving the Holy Spirit. He says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And it is so here we see this is the first time Jesus breathed on them and the Holy Spirit renewed them and they became born again. Hallelujah. And the Bible is very specific about what it takes, you know, to be born again. It was the example that the disciples were now born again. The first record that they had received anything from God. Of people believing, they were believing in Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit enabling them to be born again. And Jesus told them later what? They will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus, so if we allow the Bible to be our standard, we accept without question what it says. It's absolutely so. Once we are born again, that is a fact. And then later, Jesus had promised we're going to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 7 for a moment. Verse 37, it says, "On the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water.'" So out of our heart is going to receive this. And it says in verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, but Jesus was also not yet glorified." And so here we see that he is promising. He said, "I am going to send the Holy Spirit unto you, for out of the heart, out of our heart is going to flow the rivers of living water." Water representing, of course, a type of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, from within you, I'm going to fill you to overflowing, to where there be rivers flowing out of you. The rivers of life, the river of the Holy Spirit. To guide you, to lead you, to take you into all truth. Let's go to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you." Jesus is talking here and he's saying, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you." Hallelujah. How many are thankful that he has sent the Holy Spirit to us? It says, but the helper, verse 26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. How many know that the Holy Spirit is a helper? He is a teacher. He is a guide. He is an intercessor who will pray for you. He is one that will stand next to you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to go away. He said, is expedient. He said, I must go away, but I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 15. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said to you, he will take of mine, and he will declare it to you. So it is important. Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit, he's coming to you. I have promised him. He will come to guide. He will come to teach. He will come to fill you to overflowing. For out of that belly, out of our innermost being, is going to flow the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. All right, let's go over here to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, it doesn't really say exactly how many Jesus was talking to at first, but eventually it was boiled down to about 120. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen. So the Bible is indicating, Jesus is sharing. He says, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, if we back up just a little bit here, verse 4, and said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Still thinking in the natural. Amen. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power, dunamis power, the God kind of power. Power that's going to change your life and cause you to be a testimony for me. Cause your eyes to be opened as never before, and you'll be a witness to me right where you are right now. Where you are from Jerusalem, amen, we could say from St. Thomas, amen. Hallelujah, how many agree? You could say from where you are, the place that you are. And he said, from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria. Amen. The places around them, we could say over to London, maybe over to Toronto even, over, you know, in different areas, down here to Port Stanley, and be a witness for him. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That means beyond all of Canada and beyond unto the uttermost part of the world. He is wanting us to go. He said, you are going to receive that kind of power. Power to testify, power to see, power to understand as never before, because I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to cause you to see. He said, all that Jesus is, the Holy Spirit will reveal unto you. He has come to bring forth the truth of the Master. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. So, we are looking here, do all Christians, are they required to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is that a requirement? Well, we covered here already, we talked about, first of all, we must be born again before we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures has proven being filled with the Holy Spirit is a separate event to being born again. First and foremost, we need to know a person's life. Number one is what? They're born again. Jesus said, of course, in John 3 and verse that we must be born again, or we're never going to enter the kingdom. No one will enter heaven unless their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:27. The emphasis in the scripture is that a person needs to accept Jesus as their Savior. And that's why we have right here, even each one reach them. We all have someone in our life that we can be praying for, that we can minister to, that we can lead to Christ. But once we are born again, then that person, or we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is similar to being born again in the sense that a person chooses to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and chooses to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God does not force either event upon a person. Whether or not to accept being filled with the Holy Spirit is totally at the discretion of that individual. But Jesus had already said, remember, he said, if we hunger and thirst, he said, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? I will fill you. Hallelujah. John chapter 7 there. Praise you, Lord. And so we have to choose. In Acts 1 and 2, the disciples chose to go to Jerusalem. They heard Jesus' command, and he said, go wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, or the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. And so we see here that Jesus had instructed them to go to Jerusalem, and they were obedient. And there they found and received the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's where we are today. That day of Pentecost that we are celebrating today, that is celebrated around the world, because Jesus had said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And with this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking with their own tongues, wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and he began to say to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, God, talking about the prophet Joel, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he could be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of your joy in your presence. So here he is preaching. Peter, who had denied the Lord, is now standing up under the unction of the Holy Spirit and begins to declare the glory of God, the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that is of the fruit of this holy of his body according to his flesh, he would rise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God is raised up, which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. How many are glad that you have been called by God, that you're born again, and you have the option and the ability to receive the same power that came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been sent. He is here. He has baptized us. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit when we ask him. Hallelujah. How God anointed. Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. He said in Acts 2:38 that this, he says here, then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the gift is not just for them that are there, but this promise, the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. How many know it's for everyone that desires to have that gift? And we know that he was sent. We know that he came. And the Holy Spirit came to fill, that we might be a witness, that we might be a testimony to all that he has said. And we see this continuing through the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse 46. Well, let's start in 44. 44 through 47 says, while Peter was still speaking these words. Now here we have Cornelius. And Cornelius was crying out to God. He was not born again yet. But he had had a vision from the Lord. And he saw an angel appear to him and he said, I want you to send for Peter. And so he is a tanner, or one that's working in in that town. So he's wanting to send for Peter. And so Peter goes to Cornelius's house to bring forth the gospel. And here, while Cornelius is having this angel which appeared to him, he said, I want you to send for Peter. And sometimes people say, why didn't the angel talk to him? And that's because angels don't preach the gospel, but men do. Amen. They can send them things. They bring messages to us, cause things to happen, but they're not the ones that preach the gospel. But men preach the gospel. And so during that time, Peter was having his vision of where he fell into the trance. And remember, the sheet was let down and he saw the animals in there that were unclean to him. But God said, Peter, what I've called clean is clean. Don't call it unclean, it's clean. And so he realized that God was speaking to him, and that he was to go with the person that was coming to the house. God said, hey, you go with him. And so here we got Peter, he went with him, and he goes to Cornelius's home. And in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking, he's preaching the gospel to them. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. And so here we see where Peter began to preach to the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. He realized, hey, the Gentiles can also enter in. Let's turn back just a little bit. Acts chapter 8. Hallelujah. And we see here where Philip went down and he preached Christ here to, he began to preach Jesus. It says, verse 4 says this, says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preaches Christ to them in Samaria. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And verse 14 says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now each of these are subsequent, as we see there. They were first, what, born again. They received Jesus from the preaching of Philip. And then they were later filled, shortly later, filled with the Holy Spirit. So the only requirement, really, to receive the Holy Spirit is that a person be born again, that they know Jesus as Savior. Then you're a candidate to receive the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And here we see that they received the Holy Spirit. We know even the Apostle Paul, when Ananias was told, remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was blinded and fell off the horse and was led into Damascus. The Bible says that God spoke to Ananias. He said, I want you to go lay your hands on Paul and he will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he did lay hands on him and the scales fell off his eyes. His eyes were open and he received the Holy Spirit. Everybody, some people would say, well, what about Paul? In that instance, it didn't exactly say he spoke in tongues, but later on, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. We know that he received the Holy Spirit. We know that he began to pray in other tongues. And here in the 10th chapter, when hands were laid upon them, they received the Holy Spirit. Also in Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verses 1 through 3 here. It says, and it came to pass while the apostles was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said unto him, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. How many know? Here we see again that when they were they didn't know the Holy Spirit yet. They were born again. They became born again, but they had not yet heard of any Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I'm going to lay hands on you and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we want to remember the Holy Spirit is that next work. It is a work that runs to us. It is the power of God. It is that entering of Him, filling us, what, to overflowing. We may be born of the Spirit of God, but are we filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we receive power. In other words, you're going to be filled to overflowing, and out of our innermost being come those rivers of living water or life-giving water. And when we begin to pray in tongues, we know that it is a power of God. It is what begins to help us to mature, to grow with God. The more time we give to Him, the more He begins to teach us, because the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us everything that Jesus is in us, everything that He is for us, and everything He wants to be through us. If we don't know the plan of God for our life, we can continue to pray. Spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, knowing, according to Romans chapter 8, He says, we pray the perfect will of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let's look there just for a minute. Let's look at it again. We've looked at it several times, but let's look at it again. He says, we don't know how to pray. He says, but likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, our inability to produce a result because of the limitations of this physical flesh. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He begins to pray out from us and through us the very perfect mind of God. And it says, well, why couldn't they be uttered? They can't be uttered with our own articulate speech. It comes from heaven. It is the language that is supernatural. We are the ones that allow Him to fill us. We begin to speak. Romans 2 or Acts 2:4 said they begin to speak as what the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so it is simple as drinking water. If we're thirst, we can come to him, he said in John 7, where we began this morning. He said, are you thirsty? Do you desire more of him? It is like taking a drink of water. It is like coming to him saying, Lord, fill me. We can simply receive. Now the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost. Today, we simply then can say, Lord, I receive. I believe. I receive the Holy Spirit. And we can expect, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, to begin to pray in other tongues and allow him to fill us to overflowing. You say, well, why are we looking at these scriptures? Because I think it's important that we understand that what you have received and what I have received and what is available to all men is right here in the Bible. How many want the Bible experience of being filled with the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I don't want something that's out, you know, outside of that. God said he will fill us when we ask, when we simply say, Lord, I need you. I desire you. I am thirsty for you. I want to be filled not just with you, but with the Holy Spirit as well, who will, in other words, what many people say, baptize us. Just like you're baptized in water, you are immersed into the Holy Spirit. You say, well, who does that? Jesus does that. He immerses us into the Holy Spirit, whom he has sent, whom he desires for us to walk with, who he has given to us to be our helper, our strengthener, our guide, our teacher, the one that will stand with us and plead our case and guide us into all truth and begin to declare to us and reveal to us all that Jesus is. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the helper this morning? How many are glad that you have the Holy Spirit? And this last week, we learned so much. Amen. As we give ourselves over to him, the transformation that begins to take place. Because even though we're born again, we receive that capacity. But how many know we're born again? Just like, you know, Paul, the Bible likens it unto a baby. You're just a child. We must grow. We must mature in God. We must know the things of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and helps us. He comes to teach us the truths of the Word of God. He comes to reveal to us, to impart to us, to inspire us, to strengthen us, to bring the inspiration and the truth of the Word of God, that it becomes real to us down on the inside. And I know that's one of the first things that begins to happen when we begin to pray and receive and spend time with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God becomes real on the inside of us. How many know you can hear a message, you can know truth, but how many know the Holy Spirit makes it real to you? He said, you don't need that any man teach you, even though we do have teachers in the body of Christ, we must have them. But what he's saying is, I'm going to help you. I'm going to personally be your tutor. I'm going to personally help you to understand as you spend that time with me. So that is the day of Pentecost when he came. He said, I sent the Holy Spirit. I sent him to empower you. And each one of us can receive him. Hallelujah. And you may be here this morning. You say, well, I already pray in tongues. Praise the Lord. How many know there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit? He fills us every day. Ephesians chapter 5. He said, don't be drunk on wine, where it's in excess, but be filled or be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Stay filled, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And that starts in verse 15 here. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk on wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to continue to fill us. It's not a one-time, you know, yeah, we're filled, but we continue to stay filled, praying in the Holy Spirit, spending time in worship, spending time in the Word of God. These are the things that feed our spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes those. He builds us up. He begins to strengthen us and empower us to walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And many times, I know a lot of people, many people receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe they pray in tongues one time, but they don't really consistently spend time with God in their own personal life, praying in other tongues, which gives us an advantage. It is our help in our walk with Him, in our walk with the Spirit of God, knowing Him and beginning to understand more and more of all that God has called us to do. So maybe someone's listening this morning online or somewhere, I don't know for sure, and you said, well, I've never received the Holy Spirit, but you would like to this morning. You said, well, I hear what you said. I see what the Bible says, and I'm hungry to receive. So how do I do that? It's simply, we can simply go to God. Say, Lord, I need that. I need that power to walk with you. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. He's already been sent. We don't have to try to seek Him. And secondly, if we're saved, we can receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Just like they did in the day of Pentecost, they were born again. He said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is there. Thirdly, we can expect to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're not going to receive something other than that. And we see that over in Luke chapter 11. Real quickly, he said, how much more? Amen. Verse 9 through 13. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Obviously not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so He's not going to give us something other than what we ask for. We ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give it to you. And we can expect the Holy Spirit to move on our mouth or on our vocal cords. We go to Him. Acts 2:4 says, they begin to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. In other words, that supernatural language will come. It's not coming, you know, it's not something we learn. It's not a language that we can speak. It's kind of like if you didn't know Russian and then suddenly you can speak in Russian and, you know, people would understand you. But this is a language that goes to heaven. It says, verse 4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. In other words, they began to speak with other tongues or languages that they, you know, the language they didn't understand. It's a language to heaven. As the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Okay. Number 5, I would say, we don't have to worry about, you know, what we're going to receive. We're ready. When He comes, we begin to say those things out. So simply, you know, a lot of times people don't know what to expect. You know, they think the Holy Spirit's going to overtake you or something and make you do something, but God will not make anyone speak in tongues. We can simply receive that. We can breathe that in, tell God, hey, I'm receiving the Holy Spirit, and then we simply speak that out. That's how He comes. That's how He comes, is when we ask Him to come. We ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and He begins to move upon our voice or our vocal cord, and we yield our tongue to Him. So there may be someone there this morning listening. If you're here, you can raise your hand and say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. We'll be glad to pray with you. It's not anything difficult. We're not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. But you can receive and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I expect to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, just like they did here in the book of Acts. Just like they did in Acts 10 with Cornelius' house. Just like they did in Acts 19 when Paul found them at Ephesus. Just like they did in Acts chapter 8 when Philip had preached the gospel to them. And they sent Peter and John down that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Just like Paul did when he was filled. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he is one that wrote most of a large part of the New Testament. I'll just say that much. It's not quite three quarters, but almost. So anyway, he gained a lot of revelation, a lot of understanding of who God was and brought it to us. So if that's you this morning and you're saying, well, I've been born again. And if you haven't been born again, you can be. I don't think anybody listening, but if anybody's listening today that's not born again, you can be born again. You can receive Jesus just by simply believing in our heart that Jesus died on the cross for you. He took your place. I need a Savior. If that's you, if anyone says anything online, if you're listening online, just let us know. Say, hey, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And you can do that right where you are. You say, Lord, I need you. I receive you as my Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess him. I say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. I want to work with you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to be your son or daughter. I need a Savior. And if that's you this morning, you can receive him. And then secondly, if you want to receive that power that comes from on high, if you're here today, just lift your hand. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. If there's anyone here that needs to receive that, or you have some ammunition or some scriptures now, you can show someone else how to receive the Holy Spirit. But if you're here this morning, you said, I want that power from on high. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if there's someone here and you're struggling, you said, well, I've prayed a little bit, but I'm having a hard time in my prayer language. Well, I'd like to pray with you. I pray with many people. And they can get a little more language, a little more prayer, and lead you in even further. If that's you, you continue to pray, no matter what you've received. So that's our word, and that's what Pentecost was about. It was the coming and infilling of the Holy Spirit to overflowing, that we might receive all that God has for us and be filled with his power. Amen. How many enjoy praying in other tongues every day? Amen. Hallelujah. We can do that every day. And we can receive that. And we can continue to walk with him and continue to allow him to help us. Amen. Praise God. Well, if no one's here that wants to receive, that's fine. If you came for prayer for anything, you're welcome to come forward. We'll pray with you. Other than that, I'm going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the truth of your word, Father. We want to meditate on that today, Lord. The great infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The great baptism of the Holy Spirit that you have given to us. That we can walk in it. That we can use it, Lord, to continue to edify and build our life up, Lord. We thank you for it, and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.